Tonight, do we? Is our time off is over? It is? Oh my God, the mic's open. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers! Mike Malloy here, back from nowhere. Didn't do a thing. Just hung around the house. Spent a couple of weekends off with friends. Thanks to Brad Friedman, who filled in for me for the past week. I do appreciate that. It's a real zoo out there, isn't it? It's a real asylum. This weekend just passed, we were in the mountains of North Carolina. The weekend before that, we were on the coast of South Carolina. You know, visiting friends, solid, you know, in both instances, progressive, nice, friendly people, friends, right? But we were surrounded by madness. It was just unbelievable. It got to the point I was afraid to go to the local grocery store. But I missed the big event in Washington, D.C., the Teabagger March, the Klan rally, one of the biggest Klan rallies they've had in the United States since the 1920s. It was very, very strange. Any coverage that I've gotten of the Klan rally in D.C. this past weekend, was it this past weekend? Any coverage has come from the web, from various videographers who took some shots, and it's incredible stuff. There is an enormous lie involved with this that we'll get to a little bit later. But anyway, it's just in both times we were gone, South Carolina and the North Carolina, we were not around televisions, which is really a good thing. Up in the North Carolina mountains, I watched a series put together by David Halberstam, the American historian. This was about the 50s. It's like a five-part series that I believe was on television that Bob has sent to me. And watching the this five-part, and each part is, an hour? This five-part series on the 50s, you really get a sense of how we got to where we are. It's very entertaining if you get a chance to look at it, the 50s. But the only news we allowed leak in to both environments was through NPR. And I'm not talking about All Things Considered or Morning Edition. I'm talking about their top-of-the-hour updates, you know, the two-minute updates. Very quickly, turn it on. Have we been attacked? No? Okay, turn it off. You know, have we attacked anybody, I should say? Turn it off. So, anyway, it's good to be back. And again, thanks to Brad Friedman, who once again did yeoman duty in filling in for us. Did he break anything? Did he have shows that just... I got a couple of emails from people that said things like, listen, Mike, I hope your ego can take this, but listen, Brad is really good, you know? Well, yeah, that's why we ask him to fill in. We figured that this program has got to deliver good talk radio part of the time. Have you heard about this movie Creation? It's kind of a, what do they call it? A biographical drama? Would that be right? Biographical drama. It's about Charles Darwin and his wife. During a period right before Darwin allowed to be published on The Origin of Species, the book that made religious people all over the earth go berserk, and still does, to the point where they become teabaggers and clan members. But during that period of time, that the movie investigates. It's when Darwin was struggling with his own faith. Remember, he was, you know, he was a devout, what, Church of England? Is that, in his family for years. Didn't he have, church, elders or whatever you call them from the Church of England in his family? Did he? I think he did. I don't know. But, and then he had a daughter who died, which is, horrifying for a parent. It's almost impossible to deal with, I've been told. And he struggled with the decision to publish On the Origin of Species. How long did it sit there unpublished? 10, 12, 14 years, it was finished. He just didn't know what to do. So here's this movie called Creation. And excuse me, it opened at the Toronto International Film Festival last week. I'm getting this all from CBC News in Canada. It opened from at the Toronto International Film Festival, and it's gotten just rave reviews, just incredible reviews. The producer of this film, Creation, is a guy named Jeremy Thomas, who is already an Oscar-winning producer. But he said in an interview with the Telegraph of the UK, quote, people have been saying this is the best film they've seen all year, yet nobody in the United States has picked it up. He adds, it's unbelievable to us that this is still a really hot potato in America, end quote. You know, the topic. Well, it didn't used to be. But somehow a very vocal, psychotic minority has somehow seized control of textbooks and films and or the distribution of textbooks and films and to a certain degree. Political discourse, screaming, yelling. Witness this crazy son of a bitch from South Carolina. What's his name? What was his name, Kathy? The Joe Wilson. We've got some stuff on him, too. Oh, boy, do we ever. but anyway, this vocal minority that insists the planet is no more than 7,000, or the universe is no more than 7,000-8,000 years old, if that, and that, you know, Adam and Eve used to feed the dinosaurs, apples and crap, that vocal minority has, exerted its, influence. Against whom? This is a part I don't understand. Were I to be approached, as I am frequently, by the Christian right, I mean the crazy Christian right, and when they approach me, it's usually a condemnation and a threat that I'm going to burn in hell if they don't burn up my house first. Usually, you know, I write back and say, you know, if I can ever get you in the crosshairs of my scope rifle, I will put a bullet through you. Or worse yet, I'll say, you know, your mama's probably already in hell, so go away. You know, I don't tolerate these fools, so I will try to say something that is so shocking, so degenerate, that they immediately put it on YouTube or something, or post it somewhere to make it viral. Look what this goddamn Malloy said! You know, which is fine. It's great. I love it. But I just don't tolerate them. And I don't understand why nobody in the Obama administration or members of Congress, I realize most members of Congress just wet their pants every time one of these freaks pops his or her head up, you know, with a sign of an aborted fetus or a sign that says, I didn't come from no goddamn monkey. And, you know, goddamn is misspelled, and monkey is misspelled too. It's usually M-U-N-K-E-Y or something. But there's no resistance to these people. And this is how they managed to get so prominent. Nobody, corporate media over the past 20 years has tried to, pretend like there's two sides to all this ridiculous horse hockey that the right wing brings up. That there's two sides to a woman's right to privacy. There's the side that says, yeah, she has a right to privacy. And the other side says, no, she doesn't. There's the side that says, listen, all scientific evidence demonstrates that natural selection, evolution, if you want to call it that, is in fact the driving force of life. No, it isn't. It was done by a sky spook and a talking snake. You see, media treats those two arguments as if they have equal value. Well, you know, one side says this, the other side says that. Gee, what are we to do? What are we to do? And there's much hand-wringing and head-scratching, and people in the corporate suites go, well, we're trying to present all points of view. Oh, really? Then why don't you present more points of view where it concerns what happened in this country on September 11, 2001? Why don't you do that, corporate media? Of course not. But anyway, the film is already being criticized at Christian websites here in the United States. And I can't wait to see it. Creation. You know, evolution's a fact. Every time you get a flu shot, you're recognizing that viruses mutate and evolve.
We must tolerate the atheist and Jew. But Jesus is the man and our salvation. And every war we wage is in his name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation. And we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land, where we all love thy neighbor if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus' land.
I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
It is 21 past the hour. You know, Darwin's theory of natural selection simply explains a mechanism which can cause what is referred to as genetic drift. Whereas religion is based on faith or belief in fairy tales or superstitions. Truly, I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but... And as somebody wrote at the CBC News website, superstitious societies are backwards, and those societies invent their gods or the religions which support those societies, saying something over and over again or speaking in tongues makes no difference. It's still a fairy tale. And then there's this. The news about the refusal so far of theaters in the United States to book this doesn't make any sense. Look at the catalog of movies about prostitution, drug use, murder, sex. Look at the torture porn films. All of those contradict conservative Christian values that they all find distribution and make millions of dollars. You know, and the story reeks of this overplayed and frankly kind of a pain in the butt theme of science versus religion. You know, if anyone's been paying attention, the issue was settled about 100 years ago. So why do these crazy bastards, and this is the really scary part. I think only about 40% of Americans accept at face value the so-called theory of evolution or theory of natural selection, which is astonishing to me. It's just unbelievable. I just wonder, didn't these people take any just public high school science or biology? Anything? We really have created a zoo in this country that is populated by people with very low IQs and very little interest in challenging any of the Dark Ages nonsense that has hung around. I don't care if it's religious or when I say Dark Ages, when I speak about economics, of course I'm speaking metaphorically, but they don't challenge any of that. They don't challenge, you know, the things they challenge, the things these cretins challenge is science and reality and math and physics and biology and chemistry and whether or not Barack Obama is a legitimate American citizen. I mean, it's madness, isn't it? And, you know, I get a lot of emails from people that say, Malloy, don't focus on this stuff. You know, this is a very small minority. Well, if it's such a small minority, how in the hell is it given so much attention and power in this country? You know what I'm saying? Now, if you want more information about this creation controversy, go to tvnewslies.org. Mainstream media may not have this in this country. They're not even mentioning it, I guess. Oh, why stir up a bunch of trouble? Jesus God. You know, go to tvnewslies.org and they have a little bit on it and then a jump where you can read some stuff about it. Just another one of those vaguely irritating articles that popped up when I went in onto the web today. You know, what to talk about tonight? What to talk about tonight? What do we got? What do we got? What's been happening? This has all been happening? But it's the same stuff that's happening a week ago, and last week, and a month ago, and last year, and 4 years ago, and 8 years ago. And do you get tired of it? I know you do. I know you do. Bad news, not unexpected, but sad nonetheless. Patrick Swayze passed this evening. I guess you know that. What else? 9/11. Kathy pointed out something very strange to me while we were in the North Carolina mountains on the anniversary of the inside job that was 9/11. And that was that since the first, since it occurred, 9/11, 2001, we have not been on the air on anniversaries of that horrendous event in this country. We've not been on the air on a September 11th. Not by design, just the way it worked out. I did see a white Toyota today driving. We went into the city today, and it was a white Toyota and a bumper sticker, and it said 9/11 was an inside job. And, you know, we got up, we were on the interstate, we got up alongside the guy driving. I just had to check him out and see, you know, and boy, it looked like somebody who would attend the local Baptist church. Yeah, I know. That's stereotyping. Speaking of stereotyping, stick around. Boy, we have some stuff from this, this event in D.C. On the 12th. When was that? Saturday? Yeah. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. The very last breath. Bartender, what is wrong with me? Why am I so out of breath? The captain said, excuse me, ma'am, the species has amused itself to death.
The Flying Monkey Right. It's Mike Malloy.
So Sharon, our military affairs correspondent, sent me a couple emails today and this evening. She writes, I'm watching Countdown's coverage of the September 12th madness in Washington, D.C. It appears to have been a celebration of mental illness. Mike, as I watch these people, I feel shock and disgust. I have to wonder, what is left to save in this country? Better yet, who would we be saving it for? You know, those are questions that I think about quite a bit myself. I really do. I don't know. When you realize that less than 40% of the American public believes in evolution, and that's the wrong phrasing, accepts evolution as the clear, very clear scientific explanation of the origin of species and the development of species. If that is not accepted, if that particular theory or set of facts is not accepted, then it stands to reason that very little in the scientific realm can be. How do people who reject the theory of evolution or natural selection, how do they understand the computer when they sit down and start working if they do that, I would assume they do. That's, they all have these crazy Christian websites. I wonder, well, you're dealing with some of the most elemental science right underneath your fingertips that is astonishing. Unless, I mean, it's just hocus pocus. It's a genie out of a magic lamp unless you accept certain principles of science. And you can't, as far as I'm concerned, I believe this, you can't accept these tenets of science and reject those over there. You either accept the so-called scientific principle, which explains to greater or lesser degrees everything that is explainable, allowing for those explanations to change, because that's what science is. You see, religion is cast in fire and brimstone. It is immutable. It is permanent. It always has been. World without end. Amen. Whereas science says, well, this is the way it looks now, and this is the way it's looked for the past 100, 200, 300, 400 years. So we're going to go with this. However, we're going to continue to probe and challenge and push and investigate. And if we find that there is a variation or a deviance, then we will incorporate that or explore and see where it goes. And if it knocks down the previous thought structure, then we'll knock it down. My. You see, that's what's so threatening about science. It requires one to think. And at the same time, it's kind of a duality. You have to accept and challenge at the same time. And religious people can't do that. In fact, it has been, pardon the pun, bred out of them. To the extent that challenging that kind of authority means eternal damnation. So, there you go. Kim wrote, Mike, I sat down to watch Keith Olbermann to see the big 9/12 rally, ready for a big laugh. What I got is something far from it. I will never forget seeing a young white man, all smiles, holding up a sign saying, change we don't believe in! And a picture of President Obama in colored white face, red lips and all. I couldn't believe it. Another sign said that the zoo has an African in it and the White House has a lying African in it. The women that held it again was all smiles and looked like somebody's grandma. My 10-year-old daughter sat with me and I couldn't help it. I burst into tears. I didn't want to upset her, but there was no way that I couldn't let it out. I explained to her that I was just sad for these people because they were so misinformed. She accepted that and continued to watch with me. I felt sick. They are racist, plain and simple, who have been given permission by their TV prophets to come out and show themselves, to take the sheets off, if you will, and it is ugly. What the hell is going on? Kim writes, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and all the other lying hate merchants on Fox are going to get Obama hurt or killed. They know it, and they seem, and to be honest, Mike, I don't think they care. What I saw in that rally, Kim writes, was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my lifetime. Scarier than any terrorist, because it was, quote, us, end quote. I was not alive for the ugliness brought out by the civil rights movement, but I can imagine it must have looked similar. I've never felt so ashamed of my race or my country. What an ugly, embarrassing display. Thanks for letting me vent, Kim. Yeah, one of the reasons that I avoided until we came home yesterday afternoon all the online videos is because the same reason that Kim wrote about. It's hard for me to believe that I now live in a country that is this ass backwards. But in watching some network news tonight, I guess, was it tonight or something? Maybe it was online. Like Kim, I noticed that I didn't see a black face in the whole thing. I think there was a black woman who was a speaker. I don't know. But as far as the crowd is concerned, yeah, this was a Klan rally. There is no question. It was very reminiscent of the old grainy black and white videos that I have seen film clips that I've seen from Klan rallies in the 1920s, huge marches down Pennsylvania Avenue, as a matter of fact, in Washington, D.C. And the only difference is those people were all dressed in their sheets, dressed like the white cowards that they are. And these people were just, just frothing and foaming at the mouth and seem to be having a pretty damn good time about it. The big lie about this is being promoted by these sick conservatives, especially on their websites. They passed around a photo that they said showed a huge crowd protesting Obama's policies during the so-called Tea Party demonstration. Where's this from? Did I get this down? Yeah, this is from the St. Pete Times, which is, you know, certainly a good newspaper. The headlines that said the rally organized by the conservative group Freedom Works, that's the one run by Dick Armey, drew as many as 2 million people. And the photo that goes with this showed a sea of protesters that stretched more than a mile from the Capitol to the Washington Monument. And conservative blog postings said the media was unfairly reporting much smaller numbers, you know, 50,000, 60,000. This whole meme went viral on Twitter, and pictures of huge crowds were posted all over these conservative, mentally ill blogs. A conservative blog that linked to the photograph from another blog, Say Anything, said, quote, "I have no doubt that Washington Democrats are well aware of how many people turned out, even as their media outlets try to downplay the event," end quote. Our media outlets? Who was that? Rachel Maddow? Tom Hartman? Me? Is that it? The New York Times reported that, quote, thousands of protesters, quote, filled the West Lawn of the Capitol and spilled into the National Mall, end quote. Fox News wrote that tens of thousands marched in Washington. And from CNN, quote, "The march leading to the Capitol stretched for blocks on the final day of the Tea Party Express cross-country bus tour, which began August 20th in Sacramento." Blah, 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 blah. Public affairs officer for the Washington, D.C. Fire and Emergency Department said on the morning of September 12th that he thought the crowd was 60 to 75,000 people. He said, quote, "It's no way an official estimate," end quote. Anyway, the photo showed this crowd sprawling far beyond the Capitol grounds to the Washington Monument, which is bordered by 15th and 17th Streets. But there's a big problem with the photograph, the one that is making its way around the web with all these dumbass conservatives crowing and belching and burping and scratching their crotches about that we got 2 million people out there. There's a problem with the photograph. It doesn't include, even though it should, because of the angle of the photograph, it should include the National Museum of the American Indian. It's a building located at the corner of 4th and Independence. It opened on September 14th, 2004. That means the picture was taken before the museum opened exactly 5 years ago. So clearly the photo doesn't show this dumbass Tea Party crowd from Saturday. It can't, because the photo that shows the corner the corner of 4th and Independence, the building that is there on Saturday when they had this this masturbatory fantasy unfurl, the building that was there is not in the photograph. And it was built September 14th, 2004. It's been there for five years. So think about it for a second and see if you can figure out what that means. And we'll pick it up when we come back.
Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So, the photograph that is making its way around to all the mouth breathers and knuckle draggers and these crazy conservatives, the teabaggers who descended on Washington like locusts, that big photograph showing all those people is phony. Because the photograph doesn't include the National Museum of the American Indian, a building located at the corner of 4th and Independence Avenue, and that intersection is right in the photograph where they say, look, oh, goddamn, look at all of this here. That building opened September 14th, 2004. It's not in the photograph that's making its way around. So the photograph is obviously from prior to September 14th, 2004. So also worth noting are the cranes in front of the Natural History Museum. According to Randall Kramer, the museum's director of public affairs, the last time cranes were in front was in the 1990s when the IMAX theater was being built. By cranes, I don't mean the birds. I mean cranes, you know, the construction. So you have two very clear pieces of evidence that the photograph is a goddamn lie. You know, they're lies, they're damn lies, and then there are goddamn lies, and that's what this is. The photo is at least a decade old. Now, apparently, according to the St. Pete Times, the conservative bloggers who originally posted the picture have backed down. The Say Anything right-wing crazy people website updated its original post to say that the picture was, quote, of the wrong rally. Powerline, another one of these right-wing troll organization online collection of freaks, took the picture down altogether. And the updates that have been received by the St. Pete Times all day told them that the rally featured in the photograph was organized in 1997 by Promise Keepers. You know, the wife-beating freaks from the evangelical Christian community. According to the group's website, Promise Keepers, nearly a million people showed up for the event. And St. Pete Times is still waiting to hear back from Promise Keepers as to whether the photograph is indeed of their march. But the St. Pete Times found a few other shots of the event that led them to believe that the readers are correct. This was from Promise Keepers. So if you go to their blog site, St. Pete Times, you can get all this information. But the thing that always, forever, destroys me about right-wingers is how willing they are to participate in fraud and lies and deceit and deception. And when you think about basically what their religion is and basically what their economic understandings are, that's understandable. Because just about everything that has to do with their lives is based on fraud and deceit and deception and lies and cowardice. You know, I've said this so many times, and I still get a trickle of emails. How dare you talk about us? Oh, kiss my grits. That's exactly what a conservative is. That's exactly what a Republican is. First, last, and always, scared of his or her own shadow. And so willing to be manipulated. So willing to participate in that Klan rally that occurred in D.C., on Saturday. And so willing to look at the photos going around the web and say, well, damn, Marge, I knew there's a lot of us there, but holy Toledo. No, that's not you. But you're not supposed to know that. Regarding evolution, Reg writes, 43% of Americans accept evolution, period. 43%. That means 57% don't. Darwin's theories aside, Reg writes, let's consider that there are parallel explanations for the ways in which the evolutionary process takes place. It's evolution that is being rejected because it defies the biblical explanation of an invisible creator. I've written, Reg writes, science texts used in biology classes all over the country, and yet I had to remove a chapter on evolution in a bio workbook for middle school children because Texas controls the textbook market in this country. Texas orders statewide and makes up a huge portion of the textbook market. Other states allow individual districts to buy their own textbooks. But, Reg writes, let's be fair here. It's not only Christian America that does this. Here in New York, Jewish religious schools literally cut out chapters on evolution from their biology books, since they get their textbooks via the New York City school system that teaches Darwinism. I've even seen whole chapters on this topic blacked out with markers. Sheep make good flocks. Reg. Yeah, and I'm sure that you can probably find the same thing in Islamic religious schools, too. It's just that the Christians have this tremendous power. The Christian fundies have a tremendous power over a textbook. As Reg points out, Texas school book purchases determine what everybody else in the country pretty much are going to read. But it's the Christian crazies, not the Jewish crazies or the Muslim crazies that have so much power in this country where it concerns what our children are going to learn. Is it rational to teach a child that evil came into this country because a talking snake seduced the first woman, who, by the way, was taken from a man rather than vice versa, and the talking snake convinced her to eat a fruit. And once she ate the fruit, all hell broke loose on earth, and the human race has been condemned. What does a little girl who is taught that think of herself? Conversely, what does a little boy who has been taught that think about little women, i.e. his little female classmates and friends, if he has classmates? It's very disturbing, sick, psychotic stuff. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. By the way, on Wednesday, September 30th at 7 p.m., I'll be doing a gig in San Francisco at Yoshi's. All the information is at the green960.com website. That's our affiliate there, Green number 960, green960.com. Wednesday, September 30th at 7 p.m., and it should be a real hoot. And then we're going to produce the Malloy Show, or I should say the friendly people at Green 960 will be producing the Malloy Show Thursday and Friday night. We'll be doing it from San Francisco. So Wednesday night at Yoshi's, September 30th, 7 p.m., go to green960.com to get information on ticket sales. And then we'll do the show. That'll give you two nights off, won't it, Kathy? Oh, my goodness. We'll do the show Thursday and Friday from San Francisco. So hope you show up if you live in the San Francisco, Oakland area, or anywhere in the state or the West Coast. Come on up. Come on down. Come on over. Love to see you. Go to green960.com for the ticket information. Randy and Seoul wanted me to know that there was more going on than just the shouting and screaming and the morons and the idiots and the creepy crawly stuff, although we're going to get back to that in a moment. But what he sent me here, you know, the global warming thing that is not happening. Well, the Associated Press is reporting that two German cargo ships have passed through the so-called Arctic Passage, the fabled Northeast Passage, after global warming and melting ice opened a route from South Korea along Russia's Arctic coast to Siberia. And it says the German-owned ships are poised to complete their journey through the cold waters where icebergs abound, heading for Rotterdam in the Netherlands with 3,500 tons of construction parts. Scientists report that the Arctic Ocean ice cap has been shrinking to unprecedented levels in recent summers because of global warming, opening up many passages that were ice-choked in earlier times. And in July, a couple of months ago, new NASA satellite measurements showed that sea ice in the Arctic was not just shrinking in area, but thinning dramatically. A journey from South Korea to the Netherlands, for example, you have to go through the Gulf of Aden, through the Suez Canal, into the Mediterranean, and pending on their destination, into the Atlantic Ocean. But that's about 11,000 nautical miles, about 13,000 miles, land miles. By going northward from South Korea and using the Northeast Passage, about 3,000 miles and 10 days can be shaved off, which means lower fuel costs. Researchers said the ability to navigate the route showed climate change. Director of the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado, said, "We are seeing an expression of climate change here. The Arctic is warming. We're losing the sea ice cover. The more frequent opening of that northeast passage is part of the process we're seeing." And he added, "The Arctic is becoming a blue ocean." This year is shaping up to have the third lowest amount of Arctic sea ice on record, just behind the worst year in 2007 and the second worst year in 2008. So the fabled Northeast and Northwest passages are just about reality. But it's not happening. You see, there is no such thing as global warming. Al Gore is a liar and a communist and a socialist and a fascist and hates Jesus. So don't pay any attention to the fact that we are now going to have another ocean. And regarding...
What you got against the ocean? Oceans are pretty.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and it'll cut down the travel time by 10 days, so that's a good thing, right? Somebody will say, "Well, Mike, that will reduce the carbon footprint of the shipping companies." Yeah, that's right. It will. Regarding evolution and the fact that, you know, I asked during the first hour, and damn it, Prairie 2 was listening. I said, for people who don't believe in evolution, the theory of evolution, or Darwin's natural selection, or whatever you want to call it, origin of species, let's call it theory of evolution. For people who don't want to believe in that or accept that as scientific wisdom, how can you accept the very computer that some of these crazy people sit in front of and type up their insane websites about how Darwinism is godless communism or whatever? Well, regarding that, Prairie 2 writes, "The next generation of computer chips is being designed to be grown with synthetic DNA. New drugs are being researched using eight-letter DNA as opposed to God-created DNA that only uses four letters. So, when the cyborgs do take over, what do you suppose they will do with these religious people? Gear oil, perhaps?" I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised. Oh, Lord. There is no such thing as global warming. There is no such thing as evolution. And Barack Obama is an alien. Another email or missive from our military affairs correspondent today. Joe Wilson, the guy who shot off his stupid-ass South Carolina mouth the other night when When was that? Because we did watch that. That was Thursday night, last Tuesday night. That's right. We were here. We didn't go anyplace. That's right. Joe Wilson. His real name is not Joe. It's Addison. But that's beside the point. Sharon points out here, he presents himself as a hard-boiled combat veteran, retired Army colonel, and all-around tough guy. But his real record is Vietnam. He was born in 1947, this cowardly little snake, and therefore was prime material for the Vietnam War. After taking deferment after deferment for college and law school in 1972, he was glided into a coveted Army Reserve billet protecting him from service in Vietnam. This is according to Gordon Duff, who is a Marine combat veteran, regular contributor to Veterans Today. His real record shows that he quit after going into, in 1972, into an Army Reserve situation. He quit in 1975 with the fall of Saigon and was transferred to the National Guard, where he was a judge advocate, a lawyer, just like Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina. Wilson has one of the worst records in Congress, having voted against veteran funding 11 times. The only veteran Wilson has helped is himself. Though ending up with full health insurance and a fat military retirement, Joe Wilson, like Senator Lindsey Graham, both passed more qualified serving officers who were deployed to combat, and they moved into high-paying positions as full colonels, all done with political clout. Lindsey Graham did it, and so did this cowardly, loudmouth son of a bitch, Joe Wilson. And as Gordon Duff, former Marine combat veteran, writes, this gives both Wilson and his good friend, and reportedly highest-ranking gay officer in the U.S. military, Lindsey Graham, substantial double-dip retirements without ever having to actually serve in the real military, and especially not during the Vietnam War. Wilson's opponent in the upcoming election is Rob Miller, 13-year U.S. Marine with two combat tours in Iraq. Joe Wilson missed his chance at combat due to more important considerations involving, you know, his personal skin. And he has received over $400,000 in political donations from the healthcare industry in support of his position against healthcare for the rest of the country. Isn't this always the case? Every single time you find a Republican who shoots off his mouth, you find a coward. And in some instances, even worse, you find these guys who present themselves as, big-ass military veterans, and they were cheesy little cowardly bastards who slipped and slid their way, greased their way into, in this case, in Lindsey Graham's case, the position of colonel. Oh, my God. City, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the roof.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I got an email from Reverend Garrett Philpott in Kentucky, who writes to me, Mike, I'm a longtime listener, started back in the Air America days, and have been a podcast subscriber, founder, fan, a defender, and a friend of your little program for as long as I can remember. You and I are far apart on matters of God, but we couldn't be closer when it comes to, quote, religion, end quote. Religion is a creation of man, by man, for man. God has as much to do with religion as a baby has to do with a basket of shrieking eels. But why I really decided to write, Mike, is I wanted to send you a copy of the letter I recently sent to Dr. Hearn. Dr. Hearn is one of only two physicians in the U.S. who will still perform late-term abortions. Dr. Warren Hearn, M.D., was good friends with Dr. George Tiller. the doctor in Kansas who was murdered by a right-wing fundamentalist Christian. I would be honored if you would read it. And he didn't say read it on the air, but I'll read it to you anyway. It's addressed to Warren Hearn, Dr. Warren Hearn. Dear sir, I recently saw the most excellent program on Now on PBS, on which you were featured discussing the assassination of your friend and colleague, the physician Dr. Tiller. The murder of Dr. Tiller has both saddened and angered me, in that it was carried out by the right-wing terrorists associated with Operation Rescue. Dr. Hearn, I am a Christian and a minister, but I'm not a nut. True Christianity is based on freedom of choice, the freedom to choose for oneself. We believe God gave man a choice in the Garden of Eden. Well, we still have the God-given right of choice now. No one has taken the right to scream, shout, assault, or murder someone else, or legislate their choices away because they think they will make a bad choice. No one has the right to do that. My wife and I would never choose abortion, but that choice was ours alone to make. All women have the right to decide for themselves. The actions of these terrorists calling themselves Christians, Randall Terry, Operation Rescue, Army of God, etc., sicken me. Dr. Hearn, I feel so strongly about this that I'm willing to come to your clinic and act as a volunteer escort to stand between these women and the lunatic fringe that would yell, scream, spit at them, or worse. I would wear my clerical civic attire, black suit with white collar, if for no other reason, to show that these Operation Rescue types do not speak for all Christians. I will continue to pray for you and your staff and all your families. Thank God that God will shield you from the lunacy of those that have encircled you. You are doing good and are not blind to it. And all are not blind to it. My thoughts and prayers go out to you once again at the loss of your friend and colleague, Dr. Tiller. In Christ, Reverend Garrett Philpott. Reverend Dr. Garrett Philpott. Reverend Philpott, there you are. Thank you very much for writing. Thanks for being a supporter of the program. He's a podcast subscriber. Hint, hint. Go to MikeMalloy.com. I mean, here's a guy who is a Christian minister who subscribes to this program, supports this program, and agrees that religion is a weird creation. He is a believer, whereas I am not, and he supports this program. And thank you, Reverend Philpott. I appreciate it very much. Really do. Thank you. What about you, Truth Seeker? Are you a subscriber yet? Well, why not? Just go to MikeMalloy.com. It'll cost you 25 cents a show. Mary in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina writes, Mike, Reverend Joe Wilson, name-calling in the House the other day was really just what it seemed, a racist remark at our president. This very small crowd of mostly Republicans has not yet accepted this president's win. The South, where I live, still harbors hatred for black people. These Republicans plan these attacks that will go on at all levels of Obama, the Obamas, Obama's plans, no matter what they are. Max Baucus, Kent Conrad, and the rest of the Democratic whores might as well change their political affiliation. How can Obama win an all-out election with a wide margin and then not have enough votes to pass any of his bills? Obama needs to issue a standing statement that makes all of the United States citizens not on Medicare enroll directly into Medicare. No fuss, no mess, no problem. I hate to see our government turned into a cage fighting scene, but if I thought the Democrats had any testicles, payback would be glorious, and hell for the Republicans. All of this turning our country upside down was planned by Ronald Reagan's handlers in 1980. They would have succeeded earlier except for Bill Clinton, Republican light, and now Barack Obama. The jury is still out on Obama. His rhetoric has me puzzled. No bipartisan anything, Mr. President. You got the votes. Or should have. Mary in Myrtle Beach. Wasn't far from Myrtle Beach there, Mary. Weekend before last. All right, we have a break here, don't we? Okay, we're going to try to... Let me see if I've got a moment with Bob. I think I do. Yeah, we have a moment with Bob tonight. And a couple other things. So stick around. The fun and frivolity is just getting cranked, okay? Also, a missive from Prairie, too, that you might find interesting. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Inside your head,
Flying Monkey Free Fun and Frivolity with Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Yeah, I think we probably should have a moment with Bob. Once again, a moment with Bob brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling, who bring you moments with Bob without the least bit of irony. Tonight's episode is something that Bob sent. Bob sent, I should name this, a moment with Steve and Pizzo. But Bob sent this to us, and we are going to make it the moment with Bob tonight, although Steve and Pizzo is the writer. Well, not the whole thing. I'll clue you in when Stephen checks in. First part is from Bob. He writes, I spent the weekend brooding. Maybe it was having hope dashed for so long. Again dashed. Yes, Barack Obama shaping up as just another mediocre politician. And then there's the still rising tide on the ignorant right. Errant thought. No wonder right-wingers get all worked up over Darwin. After all, under Darwin's rules, it's always the least adaptive among the species, those slowest to embrace change, who are among the first to go extinct. Trouble is, this time, if they get their way, they'll be taking the rest of us with them. Anyway, it just struck me this weekend that we're going to need something a lot more real than Barack Obama before we get anything like change we can believe in. We need one of those when an immovable object meets an irresistible force kind of moments. And my instincts tell me we're likely to see just that, because something's got to give when a system of governance seizes up, as ours clearly has. At the moment, the nation and mankind itself are confronted with do-or-die challenges. I don't need to list these challenges because they're on the news every day. Are we going to respond to the changing climate or just ride the Extinction Express to the end of the line? Are we going to reinvent a sustainable, more equitable financial system or fire back up the one that just ran us all down? Are we going to start treating healthcare as a fundamental human right or keep on selling it to those who can afford it like Twinkies? Thighmasters or the latest iPod? This weekend, I came to the conclusion that the American system of government not only won't respond appropriately, but can no longer do so, at least when it comes to the really big problems. The reasons are many, most involving money, of course, but at this point, those reasons are really quite irrelevant. Those problems have long since morphed from simply being problems impacting our system of governments to being our system of governance. Times like this, I always reach for my tattered and dog-eared copy of Edward Carpenter's Toward Democracy, which I open, like Christians open a Bible, to any old page, which almost always turns out to be the right page at the right time. Here's what I open to Sunday night. This is written around 1980. Do you suppose it is all for nothing that disbelief has gone out over the world? That weariness has taken possession of the souls of the rich, and that fatal darkness enfolds the head of wealth and education? That men disbelieve in the human heart and think that the source of power is set otherwhere than in its burning, glowing depths, that the powers which they worship are but so many withered emblems of power, dead, scoriae nodding and jostling over the living lava stream? Do you suppose it is all for nothing that the eyes of brothers avoid in the street and none sees what is before him? That the heel is upon the head, and earth alone regards the faces of them that are oppressed? That the stones in the wintry fields are become confidants, and the ground is sown with compressed thought like seeds? Do you suppose it means nothing, that that which satisfied once satisfies now no more, but unrest and hunger are eating through men's souls? That a new need gone up is more than all precedent, and history shrivels before the will, even if it be only of one man, that the pilgrimage has begun, and men are leaving their long-loved homes by thousands, and the tenderest-hearted are the first to sever the old ties? That expediency and logic expostulate in vain, and man has become wholly unreasonable and are calm to drop utility into the bottomless pit. And the wise cover their lights, but the fools flash theirs and are whirled away like fireflies in a thunderstorm. Do you suppose it means nothing when the godlike hand comes forth, the awful hand, sacred with the kisses of the generations of men? When the hand of necessity comes forth from the cloud and covers dark the faces of them who have never known it, turning them back from their ruin, but stands in the clear sky, beckoning bright like a pillar of fire for weary fugitives? When the awful vision moves across the sky and the earth is electric under it and the grass stands stiffly and the blue thistle in the hedge is erect with meaning, and men are amorous for the naked stinging touch of the world and to wrestle limb to limb with the wind and the waves. When poverty and hardship smile for their espousal and fierce endurance is fused in one passion with love and the glitter of concealment is torn away and the loins are compressed and the eyes aflame with lust toward that which shall surely be born. When wealth is slowly and visibly putrefying the old order of things, when the surface test is final, the rainbow-colored scum and society rotting down beneath it, a trick of clothing or speech, metallic clink in the pocket, white skin, soft hands, fawning and lying looks, everywhere the thrust of rejection, the bond of redemption, nowhere. The sacred gifts all violated, stale and profaned, men and women falling off from them, listless like satiated leeches. When labor is not loyal and true, nor the laborers loyal and true to each other, when a man has no pride in the creation of his hands, nor rejoices to make it perfect, when machinery is perfectly organized and human souls are hopelessly disorganized, do you think all these things mean nothing? Another moment with Bob / Stephen Pizzo. Thank you, Bob. Brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Now, I'll take this to bed with me tonight and read it again, trying to figure out what the hell I just said. It's kind of scary, though, isn't it? We have our missive from Prairie 2. He writes, our economics correspondent, he writes, "Happy September 14th. President Obama has now kept the nation safe from terrorist attacks 3 days further into his presidency than Bush did. In another anniversary of Bush's unelected reign, Republican pundits this morning were congratulating the Bush administration for its skillful handling of the banking collapse of 1 year ago. They went on about how close we came to all the ATMs not working and presumably the end of civilization. What they really did was just sweep it under the rug and pretend that huge lump wasn't there. That lump is still there and it's getting hungry. So far in September, another 8 banks have gone under, bringing the total this year to 91. These banks cost upwards of $2 billion to clean up. But that doesn't include about $4 billion in assets that the FDIC couldn't sell. Made up of condo projects in the most overbuilt bubble areas, they will probably never be worth anything. The FDIC is estimating that banks are carrying at least $1 trillion in toxic assets on their books, as if they were ever something real. They're also not counting the home mortgages that are underwater but so far making payments, at least until the next interest rate adjustment or wave of layoffs. Republicans have been going around saying that the Klan rally on the Washington Mall drew a bigger crowd than the presidential inauguration. According to the space they took up, a generous estimate would be 60,000, and that included as many as a third of Obama supporters. With 2 million plus who came to see Obama swearing in, it would be reasonable estimate that at any given moment there were more than 60,000 people waiting in line at the Port-a-Johns to say a symbolic goodbye to Bush. The problem with using so-called space occupied system to estimate the crowd is that it doesn't take into account all the scooters belonging to people who got them free from Medicare. You know, the government health insurance they all want to do away with. Of course, they could all have two or three scooters for what the government paid for each one. The Republicans long ago put in no-bid contractors to supply medical equipment and have so far blocked any reform. Obama did something encouraging Friday, though, by raising the tariff on cheap Russian tires to 39%, and this follows a similar move against imports of steel pipe last week. I mentioned this to a Reagan Democrat I met today, and it took about 5 minutes for him to wrap his head around the idea that Obama wasn't giving anything away. The deathers will soon be riding scooters with American-made tires. Not that they care, as long as they keep getting their government checks and benefits. Prairie 2.
The numbers come together in some kind of third dimension. A regular algebraic bliss. With something simple, like 1 and 1 ain't 3. And 2 plus 2 will never get you 5. There's fractions in my subtraction, and X don't equal Y. But my homework is bound to multiply.
The truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. After the break at the top of the hour, we'll take your phone calls. If you'd like to give us a holler, 877-996-2556. Or 877-99-MALLOY, but try the all-number calling. 877-996-2556. We'll be opening the lines in, during the break, about 5 minutes. One more thing from, or I should say about Joe Wilson, the guy who screamed liar. In the first place, it's not in keeping with the House rules. The rules of the House of Representatives, you can disagree on policy, but insults are off the table. Isn't that cute? But Joe Wilson, oh, by the way, his son Alan is running for Attorney General in South Carolina. And both of these men and three of Representative Wilson's other sons out of 5 in one family get free military medical coverage, which is, you know, government run. When it comes to his family and his family's government health care, Joe Wilson has a whole different attitude. You see, as a retired Army National Guard colonel, Wilson gets a lot of benefits, one of which apparently was not a full appreciation of the customs, traditions, and courtesies that mandate respect for one's commander-in-chief. But anyway, I digress. With 4 sons in the armed services, the entire Wilson brood has enjoyed multiple generations of free military medical coverage known as TRICARE, T-R-I-C-A-R-E. As politicos and town hall criers debate the finer points of the public option, employer mandates coverage for undocumented immigrants, et cetera, and who's more Hitler-like, they seem to miss a larger point. The United States has single-payer health care. It covers 9.5 million active-duty servicemen and women, military retirees, and their dependents, including almost a tenth of all Californians and Floridians and nearly 250,000 residents of Wilson's home state. This is from Newsweek's The Gaggle blog. Military beneficiaries like Wilson, who is a retiree, is eligible for lifetime coverage. Never have to worry about an eye exam, a CAT scan, a prolonged labor, an open heart surgery. They have access not only to the military's 133,500 uniformed health professionals, but cooperating private doctors as well, whose fees are paid by the Department of Defense. It's high-quality care. Surveys from 2007 and 2008 list TRICARE among the nation's, or the best health care insurance in the nation. That's according to customer satisfaction. Yet, Mr. Wilson insists that government-run health care is a problem. You knew this was coming, didn't you? Of course you did. If you want some information as about TRICARE, you know, look it up on you know, one of the search engines. It's unbelievable. See, Joe Wilson and his brood are willing to suck at the public trough and get as many benefits from single-payer health care or government-run health care, whatever you want to call it, the very care that he would deny to other Americans. Now, son of a bitch, how do people like Joe Wilson justify this? Do they think that nobody will find out that Joe Wilson sucks up everything he and his family can possibly suck up thanks to you and me? Whether we have health insurance or not is beside the point, where it concerns Joe Wilson getting his and his family getting theirs. Now, one of you right-wing nutballs who listen to this program say, well, but Joe Wilson served in the military. He served in the National Guard after dodging around, getting deferments, and keeping his ass out of combat when he, being a great war supporter as he is, he should have gone to Vietnam and probably would have gotten dead real quick. But through a series of political moves, he winds up a full colonel in the reserves. Never did a goddamn thing. He and Lindsey Graham never did a thing. Never put themselves in the line of fire. Never put themselves in a position where they could be wounded. Never put themselves in a position where other men really depended on them. These are cowards of the highest order. Well, they'll put on the uniform. They'll wear the insignia. They'll grab the advancements. But when it comes time to haul your ass over and do some shooting and or be shot at, they disappear into the woodwork like the rats that they are. But when it comes time for the handout, oh, there's Joe Wilson and his whole goddamn family. There they are. Yes, indeedy. Give me more. Give me some more. Give me all of it. But not you, truth seeker. Now, the guy who wrote this little bit about Joe Wilson's dirty little healthcare secret is Adam Weinstein. He's a combat veteran from Iraq, freelance journalist, and he's uninsured. Oh, my God. But blabbermouth Joe Wilson and his family, oh, they're not uninsured. No, thanks to your tax dollars, I guess is one way to put it. Joe Wilson and his brood get the best health care available, and it's single payer and it's government run. So then why is Mr. Wilson so adamant in his stance against government run, as he puts it, health care? It's what he gets. Now, if you combine what this miserable son of a bitch gets from his rank and the fact that he is a former military, and what he gets as a member of Congress, well, son of a bitch, isn't that amazing? Joe Wilson has single payer. As a matter of fact, he double dips for it. But you and me, no. Barack Obama, he's a liar. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. The number here is 877-996-2556. One more thing about Joe Wilson before I just dump him in the same rat hole that Glenn Beck and the rest of these swine go into. In 2000, this comes from Captain Mary in Memphis. In 2003, under Bush, Republican Joe Wilson voted to provide federal funds for illegal immigrants' health care. Is an article from opencongress.org. Donnie Shaw writes, on Wednesday night, Representative Joe Wilson shouted, "You lie," at President Obama when he said that the health care bill would not cover illegal immigrants. Wilson said the next day in a campaign fundraising video, quote, "The supporters of the government takeover of health care and liberals who want to give health care to illegals are using my opposition as an excuse to distract from the critical questions being raised about this poorly conceived plan," end quote. The supporters of the government takeover of health care. Government takeover. Oh, my God. And liberals who want to give health care to illegals. Okay. In 2003, however, Wilson voted to provide federal funds for illegal immigrants' health care. The vote came on the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act of 2003, which contains Section 1011, authorizing $250,000 annually between 2003 and 2008 for government reimbursements to hospitals who provide treatment for uninsured illegal immigrants. The program has been extended through 2009, and there's currently a bipartisan bill in Congress to make it permanent. You see, hospitals have a legal obligation to treat everyone who comes in seeking care, regardless of citizenship status, regardless of insurance, regardless of a lot of stuff. This means that hospitals treat millions of people every year who don't have the means to pay. So, obviously, this drives up the nation's health care costs. Section 1011 of the Prescription Drug Improvement Modernization Act of 2003 helps cushion the cost for hospitals. Of course, it's not nearly enough to cover the actual cost in most areas. So, Joe Wilson was for it, of course, before he was again it, thanks to Captain Mary. So, what does that mean, Mike? What does that mean, Mike? It means that Joe Wilson, like so many of these people, like the big Klan rally in Washington on the 14th, Joe Wilson is a racist. That's all. These people can't stand Obama because he's not white. That's why they can't stand him. What the hell is Obama doing in the first place? If Obama's plan or what he is injecting or what he wants in the health care plan goes through, all of a sudden the insurance industry is going to have 35 to 50 million new buyers. Ooh, that's communism if I ever heard it. By God, that's socialism. Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, Joe Wilson and his family suck at the public trough in two different ways. Joe does, or soon will. Well, three ways when he goes for Medicare. Son of a bitch. Right now, Joe Wilson and his family get free medical care in two different ways, and Joe will get three ways. Where it's single payer and it's government run health care. And yet this loudmouth son of a bitch has the nerve to sit in the House where President Obama was invited. The president does not go to the House. He can say, hey, look, come give a speech. It's up to the House to invite him. Once he's there, 230 years of debate and argument, so on and so forth, demand, require, and insist that nobody insult somebody on the floor of the House. You don't call somebody a liar. You may say, I don't like your plan. I think your plan is a bunch of horse hockey. You can do that if you like. But to call the President of the United States and Joe Wilson's commander-in-chief, his son's commander-in-chief, a liar is really kind of out there, especially given Joe Wilson's past and immediate history and his immediate status. So Joe Wilson will continue to get the best health care, government-run, available in the Western world. TRICARE, because he's a colonel, What the rest of the members of Congress get, because they are members of Congress, and eventually Joe will also get Medicare. Plus, in 2003, Joe signed off on a plan to give illegal immigrants medical care. And yet he has the unmitigated gall and audacity to call the President of the United States a liar. See, Joe Wilson knows that the folks back home just want him to do that because, you see, Barack Obama's a Negro, and Negroes are not supposed to be President of the United States. Oh, hell no. No, 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 no. Why, Barack Obama, according to these folks, is only a jump or two removed, if you believe this nonsense, from being a monkey. Isn't that what the evolutionists say? Huh? Don't they? My, my, my. But that's what the folks back home want to hear. They want to see their white, especially here in the South, if not exclusively here in the South, they want to see their white members of Congress, especially the House members, who have all the dignity of a sack of squirming scorpions, they want to see their House members insult the President because the President's a Negro. And A, Negroes are not allowed to be president. B, Negroes are not allowed to be president. And C, Negroes are not allowed to be president. There he is. And hell, he's not even American. It'd be bad enough if he was American Negro, but he's not even that. Where's he from? Kenya? Hell, didn't that woman produce one, two, three, how many birth certificates? It proved it. Of course, just like the photo of the big-ass rally, which was a photo from a decade ago. The birth certificate is a lie, too, but, oh, what the hell, that's what Republicans do. That's all they know how to do, is lie. Because, you see, Barack Obama is a Negro, and Negroes are not allowed to be president of the United States. It is such an insult that several of these southern states would just as soon secede.
Well, look, we've been thinking it over. We just want out of here.
Why? Because of health care?
Yeah, that's it.
Or is it because the president's a Negro? No, I ain't saying that! Yes, you are. Over and over and over and over again. That's what this is about. You do understand that, don't you, Truth Seeker? Come on now. A lot of people listen to this program, hear it. They live in the South. You're not going to hear it on the radio in the South. Hell no, not this program. But you listen online, or you listen on Sirius, or you listen on XM. And you're white, and you're Southern, and you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Don't you? Because, see, I live here too. Now, I'm not going to say black folk who live in the South understand, because what? I mean, of course they understand. You know, every time one of these fools screams out lie, black folk understand. They might as well be saying the N-word. It's the same thing. When you have all these 60, 70,000 people show up in Washington, D.C. on September 14th carrying around signs talking about monkeys and zoos and Africans and so on and so forth. Oh, yeah, that's about not wanting that old nasty-ass health care. That's what that's about. No, it's not. And you see, I think everybody understands that. Even the Republicans who show up at these events, they understand it too. They just think nobody else does.
Oh, this ain't about the fact that he's Negro. I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. Well, hell, we used to have a woman work for us, black woman, what was her name? Maddie Joan, I think her name was. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we just loved her like a member of the family. We used to give her bags of food to take home and old clothes we didn't want. What do you mean I'm a racist? I ain't no racist. That's not why I'm against old, what's his name, Barack Obama. It's because he's a communist. Yeah.
I touch the rocks, I touch the stones. It's the little things that break these bones. Living in this
practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. I'm coming to your phone calls here in just a second. Justine in Maryland writes in, Mike, I realize you were reading an article that discussed Joe Wilson's hypocrisy regarding health care in this country, but as you no doubt know, TRICARE, medical care for active duty military and their family members, and the VA are not just single-payer health care systems. They are socialized medicine in the truest sense, in that the government pays for all care, all salaries, all facilities, and determines which tests and procedures are done and when. In contrast, Medicare is a single-payer system. The government pays for care delivered by private providers, which is what a public option would allow for. I'm sickened by the latest flap from many Democrats over the past week in particular. Just one example is Nancy Pelosi, who until recently had seemed to be a strong advocate for a public option. Before Obama's speech, Pelosi frequently was on record saying that no bill out of the House would pass without a robust public option. Now she says a public option is negotiable. Four out of the five congressional committees, 80%, have proposed legislation with a strong public option. This is similar to many recent polls showing that 72 to 77% of the public and medical professionals also support a public option. So why the hell are the Democrats once again kowtowing to a small 20% minority? It's another effing giveaway to the healthcare industry. The trigger that seems to be growing in popularity was 15 years ago. Think of the hundreds of thousands of Americans who have died since then because they were denied proper healthcare. I am so freaking tired of the voice of millions being thrown in the crapper by these blanks on both sides of the aisle. Have I told you how much I hate these people? Justine in Maryland. Well, you haven't, but I think I understand. Garrett is calling from Houstonville, Kentucky. Oh, Garrett. Garrett Philpott, the minister who wrote the email to me.
That's correct.
Well, hello.
Hello.
What in the world prompted you to call the program, Garrett?
Well, I was shocked that you read my email.
Well, didn't, I thought you asked me to.
Well, yeah, I did.
Well,
yeah.
Well.
Apparently, I was shocked that you read it so soon, I guess.
I see. Well, you know, I appreciate your point of view where it concerns a woman's right to privacy.
Well, I'm not a lunatic Christian, and
yeah,
the fact that it's my wife and I and a handful of other people that, you know, I told your wife that calling, you know, I don't even like the term Christian anymore because it has as much, what my faith and their, what these frothing mouth people has in common is what a trout has in common with a lug wrench.
And well, I get that. Okay.
Because I've actually read the Bible. I went through the seminary, and that's when I realized these people are insane. They're not teaching this. They're not teaching this book. They're teaching. The seminaries are madrasas. They're teaching a point of view, and they're teaching to the test, essentially. Mm-hmm. They're teaching, here's what you need to know, and here's the verses where they're located.
How do you maintain, I'm assuming you do, maybe you don't, maintain a church and preach and have people come in?
You don't. Because we don't have one. We do home Bible study, home worship, and we invite people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come and they hear what you have to say, and they say, wait a minute, where are you getting it? I've never heard that before. And the number one challenge I get is from other ministers.
Mm-hmm.
When I have never heard what you're preaching. I'm like, well, it's right here in your Bible.
Hmm.
Well, and I get to, and they'll swear at me, how the F come have I never heard that?
No, wait, Garrett. You have preachers use the F word?
Yes. Oh, don't let them fool you. That's a veneer that they have painted on. Just like a mime, or, you know, just like whiteface.
Right.
They will use the worst gutter language.
Oh, my.
Why have I not heard this before? How come no one's ever told me this before? And I'm like, like I have any control over what you have or haven't been exposed to?
Mm-hmm.
You have the same book. It's the single most widely available text in the Western culture.
Yeah, that's true.
The Gideons will give you one if you ask.
For free, all you have to do is get a motel room somewhere. No, you don't even have to do that anymore.
You can write them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then they get that and they say, well, yeah, that's what it says, but that wasn't what I was taught.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
Well, that could be. That could be the problem. Well, I'll bet you're not very popular on the...
No, because I don't like gay marriage. I believe in civil unions because I think all marriages should be civil unions because the church and the state should be as far away from each other as possible.
Amen, if I can say that.
Because, I mean, I would... You know, I just think that.
Mm.
But I believe everyone has the right to marry who the heck ever they want to. I mean, plus all the churches should be taxed. They're the biggest tax dodge in history.
You know what, Garrett? You and I are going to have to talk again sometime, but right now I'm flat out of time. Listen, thank you so much. I appreciate the email and also the phone call.
Well, I appreciate you reading it.
All right, sir. Take care.
You too.
All right. And keep in mind that Garrett is a podcast subscriber. How about you, Truth Seeker?
The quality of mercy is not great.
Senators and lawyers.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Murderers and martyrs. The quality of mercy is not great.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Arnold is in Richmond, Virginia, listening to Sirius. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Michael Malloy. I ain't talked to you in a long, long time, sir.
That's true. You have not.
I have not talked to you. As a matter of fact, I can pinpoint the day. It was the day that... A young candidate from Illinois single-handedly smashed Sean Hannity's propaganda machine. It was in the speech he made in Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. That same guy spoke last Wednesday night and kind of started to turn some things around a little bit. He didn't say all the things I wanted to hear him say that night.
Right.
But he said some things I need to hear because I was getting ready to get up to the Democratic Party. Until that night, you know, night that idiot jumped up and said, "You lie."
Yeah. I have to admit. A matter of fact, I came on the air, I think, after that speech and said, you know, I'm either being rope-a-doped or he is doing the rope-a-dope. I'm not sure which at this point. But
yeah, I understand what you're saying, but you know, it's still, Mike, this fact is still there, and it's why these people in that mall of Washington act the way they acted because he landslided those turkeys. I think it was 338 electoral votes, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, but the people who attended that rally on the 14th last Saturday, those are people who can't stand the idea that a black man is president. It has nothing to do with health care.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with anything other than the fact, wait a minute, these rat bastards have tried everything. They've tried to challenge his birth certificate, where he was born. They've just come up with nonsense after nonsense that he's really a Muslim. They've challenged his religion. It's madness. And the bottom line here, you know, whether they say it's about health insurance, whether they say it's about the military, whether they say it's about Afghanistan, that's all nonsense and bat squeeze. What they are talking about is the fact that this is a black man and Lord, he shouldn't be in the White House.
How he sneak in the White House?
That's why they call it the White House.
You know what, Malloy? Let me ask you this.
Okay.
I watched Nancy Pelosi. You know, her frown broke through that all that Botox she had in her face. And she looked at this guy. I think Tip O'Neill would have stopped Barack Obama's speech and said, hey, you get up and get out of here.
I think he would have, yeah.
I know he would have said it.
Pelosi and Biden's head kind of swiveled around to their left looking at this fool. But, yeah, Tip O'Neill or one of the other powerful speakers, Democrats, would have proud. O'Neill might have, come down off of his seat there and it took a swig on the bottle as he was going down and grabbed his sumbitch around the neck and just threw him out.
Oh, O'Neill, he would have figured, hey, listen, Pelosi's father, when I grew up in Baltimore, he was a mayor up there, man. He would have took none of that crap. That
right.
guy, what was his name, Tommy D'Alessandro. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable what these Democrats are doing. They got the power in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to have it. They don't need to have all these speeches, all these things. Just go in there, man, what do you call it, part of the Congress, the reconciliation.
Right. Well, yeah, but reconciliation does require, and you know this, I mean, it requires people to be open, to being reconciled with. And I can't understand why Obama continues to try to reach out to these Republicans. They will do anything to make him crash and burn. Anything. They don't care what the issue. If Barack Obama proposed that we have two Sundays in the year that are Mother's Day, these suckers would go after him and say, see, that's socialism. You understand what I'm saying? They will go after him no matter what he does. So, you know, I wish Rahm Emanuel or somebody would whisper in Barack's ear and just say, look, forget these people. Let's go on with what we're here to do. You know, I mean, he touched on that when he gave that speech, talking about what he's here to do and what the Democrats are elected to do. Well, then why in the hell don't they do it?
That's right. I can't believe the weaknesses of these Democrats, man. It makes me sick sometimes.
Well, it scares me because I think the only thing that stands between us and this Republican brand of corporatism / fascism are the Democratic Party, and they are starting to just show that they're part of the problem, not the solution. Oh well, Arnold, thanks, man. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Marge is in Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hello there. How you doing, sir?
Where you been? I thought you got swine flu.
No, I'm just glad to hear you. I wore my finger out, one finger shorter than the others, because I couldn't break through the sound barrier.
You couldn't?
No, you must have a hell of an increase in ratings lately, sir.
Well, that's what they're telling us, but, you know, I don't believe anything that I hear on the radio.
Oh, well, you ask what they want from Obama?
Yeah.
Hell, they want him to sit on his ass and you know, take vacations all the time like his predecessor. They don't expect him to get up every day and go out and do his job.
I would, if Obama really wanted to have fun with these psychopaths, what he ought to do is just one morning, just for the sheer hell of it, go get some of that Michael Jackson treatment and show up as a white man and watch all the white people turn themselves inside. Wouldn't that be fun? They'd be turning themselves inside out because all of a sudden Barack Obama would be as white as Michael Jackson. Now, I know, don't send me email. Wait a minute, Marge, hold on. All right, don't send me emails about Michael Jackson's skin pigmentation problem. I understand. I was just saying, that's all. Never mind. All right, Marge.
You know, when he was getting ready to make a speech to the school, God, talk about somebody else that makes me crazy. George Will says, I don't care if he says eat an apple every day and floss after every meal. He doesn't need to be talking to the kids. I thought, dear God, man, you are so full of, you know. No, I take that back. His eyes must be blue because he's got to be a quart low.
Well, you know, since when did we get to the point in this country where the president was allowed to speak to our precious school children?
Oh, I don't know. Did you ever hear a guy named Reagan?
No.
George Henry Walker, what do you know?
I don't know either, but
Herbert Walker. I changed his name. Sorry about that.
Right. But, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The problem that these people are having with Obama is that he's just not Caucasian enough.
Well,
you know, even though his mother was a Caucasian, he's not Caucasian enough. And therefore, what is he doing?
You know what that stands for?
What?
P.S. You know what that stands for?
Postscript?
Not postscript. P like Tom.
Oh, T.S.? Oh, yeah.
Can't yeah. say that on the air, but anyway.
No, you can't. But well,
you know the thing. The question is: it really a law, or is it just because it makes sense and it's an accepted practice that you don't yell fire in a theater?
You don't yell it unless there really is a fire. You don't yell. You don't falsely yell.
Yeah, well, the where I'm going with that is, yeah. you know, Rupert Murdoch, God love him, he hasn't got enough sense to go out and spread all these lies. And the thing of it was back in, what was it, 02, when there was 100,000 people in New York, in Washington, in Chicago, in L.A., and that made it on page 8. Oh, excuse me, he didn't use page 8. But, I mean, you know, it was, right. wasn't mentioned on the air. And now we got how many people that they had in Washington, and it's on every bloody news broadcast.
Right. Well, I think the truth be told, there probably were 50 or 60,000 people that showed up for this thing. But the fact that online, I don't know if you heard earlier, we were talking about the photos from this rally that are being made viral on the internet. All the right-wing blog sites are just crowing, look at the pictures. There's 2 million people. Those pictures were taken about a decade ago. People did some research on the pictures. There's a building missing that was built in 04, and this is 09. And it just goes on and on. So once again, just like we've been talking about for 20 years, Marge, you and me, these are every Republican is a liar.
And you can tell that because your mouth is moving.
That's the main reason. Every Republican's a liar, and every one of them's a coward. Every single one of them.
Jeez Louise.
So.
Aww.
All right. Well, you know, where you been?
Just taking life easy, you know, trying to get through every once in a while and not being able to.
Oh, I see.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, I started out early tonight.
We ought to put in the Marge hotline. But,
there you go.
I don't know if I can, if we could afford
to figure out something here.
I hear you.
So that I can, you know, at least let you know that, hey, I'm still here. My knees are getting creaky, but I'm still here.
That's good to know. And our 37 listeners will be happy to hear that, too.
37?
Well, we're up a
thousand, hundred, million.
I only count on those 37 every single night. All right, Marge.
All right.
Thanks
you be good.
Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Do. We got a break here? Yes, we do. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour, thanks to our crew, our technical advisors, Ben Birch, Military Affairs, Sharon Gordy, Economic Affairs, Bruce Enberg, Educational Affairs, Kate Petrini, Ethics Advisors, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and the engineer and producer of this program is Kathy Bay. So there, thanks to everybody for the assistance this evening. Steve is in Portland, Oregon, listening online. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Mike, this is Steve in Portland. I'm 2 hours behind, of course, so I don't know where you are in real time, but you were talking about 9/11. And the fact of the matter is that no one in their right mind believes the story we've been told. there is an excellent website called Architects and Engineers 911.com.
Yeah, I've been there several times.
There's no way these airplanes knock these buildings down. And we know that the executives of Securicom, who were supposed to be in charge of security, were Neil Bush and Wirt Walker III, the first cousin of the president. This whole thing was just a complete fraud. And no one in the media is willing to talk about this. So,
well, I don't know why that would, I'm assuming that's a surprise. Why, you know, why would media want to talk about it? If they did in the way you'd like them to, the way I'd like them to, it would, they would be indicting themselves. Don't forget that media in this country, for the most part, is on the hook to the corporations that own them. And they're not going to get involved in this. I mean, I always use NBC as a classic example. It's owned by General Electric. General Electric makes things that kill people. And they're, you know, they're a weapons manufacturer, a weapons exporter, whatever, weapons system.
Right. I understand that, Mike. And I know that, I applaud you and Kathy and people like, Brad Friedman for, and Greg Palast and so forth for talking about what's really going on, but I think not enough attention has been paid to this question of 9/11 because everything that happened subsequently to that hinges on 9/11. The fact that this was an inside job, everything else depends on that. And unless we can somehow get this out to the American people and make them sit up and take notice, we're never going to get to the bottom of it.
Well, I completely agree. I don't know how many nights, and I haven't done it for a long time, I can discuss the just the mountain of information that's out there about the events of 9/11 and how those events simply do not work well with the official stories.
Well, just to take one specific example among many, the fact that the core of this building were a number of enormous steel girders that were never touched by the fire or the explosion, and yet the building came down in the manner of a controlled demolition.
Right. Well, again, these are things that I and this audience have discussed over and over and over again. It's just not been done recently. So all I can say, Steve, is that that on this program, I've given it my best shot. We had Stephen. Oh, what's the guy? The physicist from the University of Utah.
I know the guy you mean. I can't think of his name, but I know who you mean. Yes.
I've had guests on. I've worried this topic left and right for the 5 years immediately after the event. You know, not to the extent that some talk show hosts have done, certainly, but to the point where it's just I think people have made up their minds. The ones who are convinced that the official story is a lie, like me, like I believe that, I've made up my mind about that. And there's really no power on earth is going to shake that. But on the other hand, the people who are convinced that at worst, the events of 9/11 were simply the result of the incompetence of the Bush crime family, or at best, events were caused by the Bush crime family. Those people, their minds.
This came out of Dick Cheney's desk drawer. This was a planned event.
Well,
it wasn't an accident.
Yeah. Well, I don't. You know. Again, I've maintained that I'm not yet ready to declare that, you know, the old MIHOP, they made it happen on purpose or whatever that phrase was. I'm still in the let it happen. I think there was plenty of advance warning. Now, there may be evidence, if it ever comes out, that shows that these bastards were as up to their eyeballs in plotting an attack on the territory of the United States that resulted in the deaths of thousands. And for people who say, well, that couldn't be, You know, all I do, and I've done this a million times and just can't do it anymore, and that is to recommend that these people get familiar with Operation Northwoods. And anyone who has not gotten familiar with Operation Northwoods, when the information is just a click away, just go to google.com, y'all, and type in Operation Northwoods, and you will find the scenario for 9/11 right there. And it was put together by the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States military, the highest command in the country during the Kennedy years. And of course, when Kennedy heard about it, he, you know, went berserk or whatever. But the members of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff who signed off on this thing, and it's exactly what happened on 9/11, except Operation Northwoods was supposed to have been the fall, not the fall guy, but the fall nation, and that one was to be Cuba. So it's all there, and I don't know what to do about it, Steve, except hope that everybody does their own research and comes to their own conclusion. And if we ever reach a tipping point where enough people say, well, I'll be a son of a bitch, this was perpetrated by our own leadership, that we'll do something. But I just don't think it's going to happen. But I hear you. Thanks, Steve. I got to go. We're out of time. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay. Don't forget, September 30th in San Francisco, go to green960.com and get information and a ticket. I'll see you there. I'll see you here tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.